Greetings and good evening. Oh, it's not evening, it's afternoon. Welcome. How is everyone?
All right.
Okay. My name is Dequi Kiyomi Siddiqui, and I represent the New York City Jericho, the Malcolm X Commemoration Committee, the Sekou Odinga Defense Committee, and I'm here with my esteemed co-host, who I'm going to let introduce himself.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. My name is Frank Vergara, New York City Jericho. And like Dequi, we've been working hard with the Linda Peltier Offense Defense Committee to make this event happen today. I'm from Pro Libertad, a campaign to free the Puerto Rican political prisoners, and the popular education project, Human 5. We want to welcome you to this afternoon's activity, and ask for a little bit of forgiveness for the lateness of beginning the program. And most of our participants are here. We're still waiting for a few, so we're going to get started. First, we have the honor having with us today Frank Manoosan, who many of you know. Frank Manoosan is of Muskegee heritage and for many years was a special education teacher. He's a musician, a flute maker, artist, writer, storyteller, and lecturer. He has performed with groups from diverse cultures on an amazing variety of Native American and ethnic world instruments. He has also published articles on Native American music and does workshops for various organizations. Frank Manoosan has worked on many soundtracks and assisted in producing a concert with Paul Winter and R. Carlos Nakai at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. So let's get our program started. Without anything further, Frank Manoosan.
Technology has a problem for every solution. Welcome, Eglesi Hensha, Charichiki Moncha Funki. Welcome and blessings to you all, brothers and sisters. I want to start the program off with a prayer in Muskogee language. And as many of you know, our languages and our cultures were denied us until very recently, 1978, when Congress finally passed the Freedom of Religion Act for Native American peoples. We were allowed to do our drums, our pipes, our sun dances, our stomp dances, and bring our ceremonies back to life again. And so in recent history, there has been a cultural genocide and also political genocide against Native people. And so we are here to say that we survived all of this. We are still here. I want to start off with a prayer, and I'll translate it as I say it. Yueha lani pojasa husosa hileswa mado. Yueha chati lego tofa wewe fula hileswa mado. Yueha holadi husaklatga eganajada hileswa mado. Yoeha hotge kosopofa hola di hilaswamado. Acholagitate ohata koichichida okoichida ani. Omagida inhisida chadachiki monchavonki hisagida hilga gechka magasupga. Hisagida achagi at koichi iganajada sumomi hilosi. Blessing to you all you brothers and sisters who are here. We give thanks for the goodness and for the gifts of living here in sacred Mother Earth. Achagi nago molga, ipofanga tu kopoyu fegshu zogre amezi, imontalida enya hegidi poomi umulga, Omagida, anugechka imon talida ofa. Ingapagida nago malga chogo beloxi. Anugechka alagida emahaga cha figne ye ida. Anugechka hitomi imida tkechkis figi hitga. Asohatita huso techipimi. Imachazi chida enahaida chufigne techta mado. We give thanks to the Creator, who is the Great Spirit and the Giver of Life. We sing for all of it. Today, we thank the Creator for being in the circle of life, in the circle of exchanges of energies. We also give thanks for the love that the Creator and Mother Earth have shown us and our ancestors since time immemorial. We give thanks for all of it, because the love that the Creator and Mother Earth have shown her people, it has healed us. And if we take that love inside of us and we express it through us and send it back out to all our relations as a blessing, it is healing. It will change the world. It will bring health and unity and happiness to all peoples. Ya igana ejish kadosh igana aji nagoma gana hoyadi jaboja tastanagi igana aji ji Leonard Peltier yama in khri chapida mado nagomolga ingapagida ucho fojgas chot six nido hilen. Blessings to all the warriors and all the people and all their causes that fight to protect that which is sacred and good here on Mother Earth. Everything on our Mother Earth is sacred, and we give thanks for all of it. Free Leonard Peltier. Let him come out from this cage. He is a man to be respected for what he does. Mugusi hilomi jiho jifkudi. Mugusi doe istamatskogi to isaha matis mado. My name is Frank Manusen, Generous Bear. I am Muskogee, and we are of the Black Bear Sweet Potato Clan. Mado, thank you. I'm going to play a flute piece, which is a traditional honoring song, which I want to dedicate to Leonard and to all these people here that are here to support his plight. Thank you. Madhu.
Thank you. It's such beautiful sound that we bring into the universe. What a fitting way to open up our program for International Day of Solidarity with Brother Lennon Peltier. As I said, I am part of the Malcolm X Commemoration Committee, and there are some faces in here who were part of the work that we did last week to raise money for the political prisoners who were represented by family members at the dinner. And so while we're here to honor and to work to liberate Brother Lennon Peltier, we also have to know that when we say solidarity and international solidarity, that's why there is the Proletariat here, that's why there's the SACO Odinga Defense Committee here, because there are so many U.S. held political prisoners, and the work to liberate them is this kind of work. It's people coming out because there were people at the back table who didn't know about Sekou Odinga. There are people who don't know about Abdullah Majid. There are people who don't know about Oscar Lopez Rivera. There are so many people that it is up to us on the outside to work to liberate, to make the noise, to make the beautiful drum noise, the flute noise, our voice, our bodies, to just do the work so that our political prisoners are out here among us and that they do not remain captured in those dungeons of U.S. prisons. We need to work, work, work. It's a beautiful struggle, but we need to really work and spread their names, call their names, and make that noise all the time for these U.S. held political prisoners who maintain resistance. Their middle name is resistance. Their first name, everything about them is just about resistance. And so, thank you. And your presence here speaks to that resistance. So we are really honored, we're really humbled, and we are really appreciative of the fact that you are spending your day with us to help us to continue this fight so that we never, ever forget their name. So on behalf of all the U.S. health political prisoners, on behalf of Lennon Peltier and the Lennon Peltier Defense Offense Committee, we say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. Before we introduce our next family portion here, I want to just remind folks that Maggie reminded me to say we do have, because this is a fundraiser for the National Committee, and we know that freedom is not free, and we know that a lot of us don't have a lot of money, but we do what we can. But this is a fundraiser, so there are, you can win a beautiful lithograph by The Medicine Man by Brother Lennon Peltier. My Life is My Sundance t-shirt, and then there's a music CD. So we will be doing the raffle later, the raffle prizes, but the raffles are available. So without any further ado, I want to introduce to you Red Storm Drum and Dance Troupe. The Red Storm Drum and Dance Troupe is based in Staten Island. Members of the group are from many different Native American heritage. They are historians, drummers, dancers, flute players, storytellers, and educators of Native American culture. Through their music, song, dances, and stories, they strive to open the eyes and minds of hearts and hearts of all present to the beauty of Native American culture.
face that way. Let everyone see it. Welcome, guys. My name is Jerry Greyhawk. I am the founder member of the Red Storm Drum and Dance Troupe. I am of Apache, Navajo, Arawak, Southern Cheyenne, and Hawaiian ancestry. And it's a pleasure to be here today to honor all of those who cannot be here today, specifically those who are, of course, in the Iron House. Mr. Leonard Peltier, a man who many believe was convicted and imprisoned wrongly for crimes that he did not commit. He has become a symbol of the plight of all Native people. His problems, his ordeals have become our ordeals. This is why we are here to celebrate those who, because of their fight for our freedoms, our ways of being, our livelihood, our life ways, which are very important to our people as Native people, have always been put under fire, under scrutiny. And many times they've been yanked away from us just as quickly as they've been given. Something that should have not been given by anyone of flesh and blood, but the great Creator himself, Yosin, the great spirit, the one who looks down upon us, is the one who should tell us and give us, instruct us on how to live. And that is the way we should live, the way of Creator, the way of Mother Earth, because they are our parents. No one of flesh and blood has the right to tell us what to do as far as a people. They shouldn't tell us how to worship and how to live. Our ways have been around for thousands of years, long before any white man stepped here, and we will continue to do this long after. Long after. Those towers and those powers of power have fallen, because once man gets rid of paper and gets rid of money, what else is there but us, ourselves as people, flesh and bone? Peel us back, we're all the same people, aren't we?
I hope.
That's right, and that's what we have to learn. We have to learn to live and coexist as people, because once everything is gone, it is just us. It is our duty to do what we were supposed to do in the first place, which is to take care of our Mother Earth and this planet, and to honor Creator for giving us the chance to be the caretakers of this planet. So we are here to celebrate those who have spoken much louder than many of us care to speak and have paid the price for it. Now, how do we honor these people? By honoring our life ways, our culture. And today we're going to give you a little bit of a taste of Native culture through song and dance. And I'd love to introduce you right now to my family, the rest of my Red Storm Drum and Dance Troupe. And of course, I'm going to make it very brief. And I hope everybody's here, right? We have some special guests with us today as well. Okay, Miss Linda Walks Far. Miss Amy Spirit Dancer. Mr. Richard Medicine Bear Powell. Mr. Robert Bold Eagle. Mr. Kino Wakasa. Miss D. Duvall. Miss Danielle Nicole. Miss Alani Moonfire Harrington. And last but not least, Mr. Katori Running Horse Bold Eagle, and of course his mother, Miss Margaret White Raven Bold Eagle.
Gotcha!
Now, I think I've done enough talking, so we're gonna have some of these ladies come out and do their first dance for us. Ladies, please. If you wouldn't mind gracing us with your presence, so we can give you a beautiful song. They're going to do for you a traditional dance. Anyone out there who is familiar with this dance is more than welcome to come and join us. Okay? To Native people and all indigenous cultures, women are very sacred. They are only second only to Creator because of their power to bring life and to reproduce and to multiply our numbers so that we can continue to exist as a people. So we honor them by giving them a good song and watch these wonderful ladies do this graceful, dignified, very important dance, because all women are important.
I hope you glitch.
Yeah.
was completely ours. Let's give them a round of applause again, please. We have one men's traditional dancer with us today, Mr. Richard Benson Bear Powell. And while he gets ready to do his portion of the exhibition, the dance he's going to do for you is called a sneak up. Many of you are very familiar with this dance if you have gone to powwow. Of course, it has its roots in tradition as well. The gentlemen that tell the dance, that do this dance, tell their own story, their own version of their own achievements or victory, whether in hunt or in battle. There are many, many different versions of this dance, each one being individual to the dancer himself. The regalia that he wears, of course, the bustles with the feathers, signify a battle going on, each feather representing a warrior that is in that battle, in that circle. The roach feathers that he wears on top of his headdress represent the chiefs standing over the battlefield, watching what's going on. And of course, the accoutrements he carries, the dance stick, acoustic, which was used to count coup in victories in battle. Very well achieved. It was a brave man who could count coup many times, and he wore those honors with great pride. I would also like to invite some of our guys here from Eastern Medicine. Give them a round of applause, please. Game, you know, gets the blood pumping, because we celebrated so hard because we didn't know how many of us were going to come home, and that is why whenever we got together in celebration, we gave it our all, we wore our best, we danced our best, we did everything to the best of our abilities, leave something behind to remember them in case we are carried back home, instead of riding back home like we should. So that goes to all the warriors, all the fallen ones, and all the ones who are out there right now. That great set fighting for our freedom. Okay? Because the wars is never over. It's never over here and it's never over there. What do we say? We're a warrior culture. It's in our blood to fight. You know, we might have peace for a little while here and there, but unfortunately, it always goes back to the same thing. It's what we've become, it's what we are. Okay. Do something more fun now. Miss Walsar. Roja, what did you say? Okay, you guys, come out here. We did a little bit of something that had to do with war. Now we're going to do a little something that had to do with love. We're going to have a two-step. Two-step is a courtship dance. Of course, some many people call it a rabbit dance. We call it an owl dance. It is a couple's dance. And, of course, it's ladies' choice. The
man says no one's smoking.
Yeah, it's, the rates have gone up. It's actually 50. And we know of many women who retired quite nicely on the money they made. Did you find somebody? Of course, the Powells will be leading the dance for you. Anybody else who wants to join from out there, please feel free to come out. Come on, you two. Come on, you two. You don't need a special invite. Anyone else who wants to join in, please do. Okay, we're gonna do another dance. Maybe you guys help us out with this one too. Now you saw the two-step being ended with a round dance. So we're gonna go ahead and have a round dance. You guys like your round dances, huh? Yeah. Hey, I'm Mr. Watson. The round dance, of course, is a unity dance. It's a dance of friendship, celebrating just being people, who we are. And of course, it's done in a circle. Just like everything pretty much in Native culture is done in a circle. Circle is a very sacred shape to us. Everything that we consider infinite. No corners. no cracks, no limitations. That's how we live.
Oh.
So, of course, let's form this great circle here. Mr. Watson. Bring Mr. Oller with you, please. Bring Mr. and Mrs. Oller. All right, let's get this circle going. Round dance. On behalf of the Resto and Drum and Dance Troupe, this concludes our little bit, our contribution. We'd like to say aho.
Aho.
Which means thank you.
Aho.
We'd also like to say akwani.
Akwani.
Dual meaning. It means our paths will cross again. But the biggest meaning it has, it means peace.
Aho.
So I wish you all peace. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Thank you for being such a wonderful, wonderful audience. Give yourselves a round of applause, if you don't mind. Perfect. And again, we have the Restful Drum and Dance Troupe. Akwani, we will see each other again. Many of us will. Sooner than others. But we'd like to extend our thanks. Aho.
Aho.
Let's show our appreciation once again for the sisters and brothers who are able to share We are indeed fortunate and honored to have you all here with us today. As you'll see as the program goes on, we're very honored and privileged that the sisters and brothers will be addressing you during the program today. It's my honor to introduce one of my own, meaning one of the Puerto Rican freedom fighters who was incarcerated for 20 years for seditious conspiracy and is currently out. Luis Rosa Perez is free. Luis Rosa Perez and our other comrades have been out from behind the walls since 99. Presently, Luis is the spokesperson for the campaign to free the political prisoners in Puerto Rico and the Committee for Human Rights in Puerto Rico. These are two of the major organizations fighting for the release of our remaining prisoners and also building bridges and links with the close to 220 political prisoners in the dungeons of the U.S. Empire.
Whoop-a!
Your presence here today is proof that where there's repression, there's resistance. When there's repression, there's resistance. And all our people have been resisting. The people of Puerto Rico, the Puerto Rican nation, resisted and endured 500 years of colonialism under the Spanish Empire and 113 under the U.S. Empire. We're still here. We're still fighting for our freedom. We have a tradition, especially in our political prisoner events, to bring our prisoners here with us to the gathering. We use the word presente, which in English means present. I am here. I am with you. I have your back. So what I'm going to ask you to do, we are going to bring Leonard Peltier here more than the presence he already has, Oscar Lopez Rivera. So I want to hear a presente when you hear their names. Their names have power because it's the power of the people and their desire to be free. Oscar Lopez Rivera.
Presente.
Oscar Lopez Rivera.
Presente.
Leonard Peltier.
Presente.
Leonard Peltier.
Presente.
They will always be presente. They will be in our hearts. And without further comment, I have the privilege of introducing you to my compañero, the freedom fighter, Luis Rosa Perez.
Yeah.
greetings to all my relations. Greetings to my elders. I ask for your blessings. To all of you, I want to thank you for being here. Today we must feel the Dakota and Lakota. We must be Native American. Today we must feel Arawa. We must be of the African nations. Today we must be the brothers, the sisters, the sons and grandchildren of Leonard Peltier. We must feel them in our music, in our culture, in our dance, in our poetry. Their spirit has to be reflected in that. We must be Mumia, and we must be Seku, Odinga. We must be Mutulu. We must be Asana in Cuba. We must be Dijemu in Cuba. Wherever there is a freedom fighter, we must carry them here. Because part of us is in there with them.
That's right.
And unless they are out here with us, we cannot be fully free. Because they are part of the land, they are part of our spirit. I was blessed with having all of you, with having people to struggle for our release. And we did what was the impossible. And that was what Chet taught us to do. Do the impossible. And we 11 Puerto Rican political prisoners in 1999. My sentence was 108 years.
Wow.
In 1996, after 17 years in state prisons of Illinois, being transferred 22 times among 9 different prisons, I was transferred to Leavenworth Federal Penitentiary to start a 75-year sentence. Among the first people I met, and the first people who embraced me with their love and with their brethren, was Jan Lahman.
Yeah.
And Leonard Peltier.
Yeah.
Then Tom Manning as well, Bill Duncan. There, I knew what, and I we all say that many within the prison system become brothers and sisters. And you really feel that. You really feel their pain, and they feel ours. And there I learned what the sweat lodge was about, what the spirituality of Leonard was about, what the culture, and the importance of cultivating that, and never letting our children forget those roots. Because unless we are rooted, it is easy for the wind to blow us off. And we must be rooted. We must be rooted in our communities. And by being rooted, that means that we have to educate ourselves on what are the problems, what are the things affecting some of our comrades who are living behind bars. Who is going before the parole board? Who needs a petition sign? Who needs a demonstration in front of a federal building or in front of a courthouse? Who needs a visit? Who needs a doctor's assistant? We must find out, because we have too many of our political prisoners in there who are 80. And there's one thing about our comrades inside. They don't complain. They don't complain because, one, they don't want the enemy to see any weakness within them or any ills within them that the enemy can take advantage. They don't want to discourage our people outside. They don't want them feeling sorrow or pity. They want their struggle to be based on human rights, on civil rights, on a right to free our land, on a right to freedom, and we don't ask for pity while we're in there. We ask for support, but not only support for us physically, but support for our cause, because we have internalized our cause to be a just cause and a necessary cause. We do not pick up arms just because we are violent people. We have been pushed to do some of the things that we have done. And in Leonard's case, and in the case of many others, they were targeted by Cuentalco. And one thing about Cuentalco is they did not retarget that generation in the 60s and 70s. Cuentalco was meant to linger on right now, to affect our communities, to cause divisions within our communities, to cause us to hate one another, to strengthen that colonized mentality where we feel that the enemy is too great for us to challenge it. To feel that our brothers and sisters are our enemies and we cannot unite with anyone. There's reasons why some of our activities are multitudes of 10 to 20,000. One may be fear, the other one is that we have divisions within our community that some people feel that I can't support that activity because I did not participate in organizing. We must put that bullshit to the side. And some of them who come out alive don't live too much longer because prison leaves a mark on us. Just like it leaves a mark on the prison, on the combat that's done the time, it leaves a mark on all of us, on our families, on our children. So right now in the case of Oscar Lopez Rivera, and when I say Oscar Lopez Rivera, I could easily be saying Leonard Pantiers, Odena, Arturo Shakur, the African brothers and sisters. I can be saying any one of these political prisoners because the same thing is happening. Look at some of the maneuvers by the federal government. Carlos Alberto Torres, after 30 years, is going before the parole board. He gets moved out of his cell into a cell of 9 people. Shanks are found. Right before he goes to the parole board, he's charged with having shanks in possession. One of the prisoners missed those shanks were mine. He has nothing to do with it, but it still has the effect on the parole board. They gave him a 15-year hit. We managed to protest that and give him a new trial, and he came out a year later. Oscar Lopez, the same situation. Leonard Pantier gets trampled all of a sudden, and he gets beaten up, and they throw Leonard in the hole. These are things you find the same things happening with Sekou, with Mumia, with all of our. I mean, we're not vigilant. We're not studying and educating ourselves through the conditions that some of our comrades are facing. These things can easily happen to them. They can disappear inside those prison walls. So we need to step up our work. And I want to be self-critical because I have not done enough. And I feel that this is family. We cannot leave one behind. You know, they have that slogan, no child left behind, no warrior left behind. We can celebrate all the victims. We can celebrate them knowing that we're re-energizing our commitment. We're fortifying our commitment. And I know we can. I know we will. And I know we will have better home. He has an invitation at my house. I told him, come live with us out there in Puerto Rico. He is very proud of his people, very proud of his culture. He said, I won't visit, but I have to live in my community. But just like I extend an embrace and my love to him, I extend it to all those who he has touched and who continue to touch him with the word. Right? I'm very honored, I'm very pleased. And my love to you all. Thank you.
Oh, good afternoon.
Speaking truth to power and remind us that their struggle, their to win is so important. Because that is one of the examples, one of the victories that we have, and that brother is out, and his other comrades are out, and we have other examples of people being free. But it cannot, this cannot happen without the power of the people. So our presence in all the events, our presence, like Louis said, with signing petitions, with making phone calls, with writing letters, with doing singing, dancing, poetry, or everything that we do, in the name of freedom, is about an act of resistance. And it is how we send the message behind the wall to our loved ones to let them know that while we are outside the wall, we share that experience with you, and we want you to be out here, and we continue to do that work. So Brother Lewis, we love
love you, and we are so happy that you are able to be here with us in order to share those words, because we need those affirmations for people to know that this is work, but it's also liberatory, right? Because we see the examples of our work. So thank you. So what I'm going to do now is ask Maggie to come up to give updates of the Maggie is from the LP Doctors, so we are up as students here in New York City.
Thank you. Thanks everybody for coming this afternoon. We are part of a network of 25 events taking place between February 3rd and the 8th in over 15, 16 cities in the United States and in five other countries. As many of you may know, Leonard was arrested in Canada and extradited under a very false affidavit on the 6th of February. That's why we're here today. Leonard is currently not in good shape. He has diabetes, high blood pressure. He's blind in one eye, partially because of a stroke he had. He has several other medical issues as well. He was transferred not long ago to Coleman Penitentiary in Florida. Somehow or other, Leonard doesn't qualify for their geriatric unit, because during the transfer, he lost 5 years, 10 years rather. Leonard is actually 67 years old. They have him down as 57. So they don't put him in the geriatric center, and they're giving him a very hard time. They throw him into solitary for the slightest of reasons. In fact, recently they threw him into solitary and then said, oh, that was a mistake, sorry. They are also giving him trouble about monitoring his blood sugar. So as you can see, Leonard is having a very, very tough time. We desperately need to get him out. Nonetheless, this hasn't dampened his spirits. It hasn't broken him. It hasn't discouraged him. He sent us a statement for this occasion, and it is my great honor to read it to you today. Greetings to my relatives, my friends, and to my many supporters the world over. It is that time again. Another year has passed, and on February 6th, I will be marking 36 years since my arrest. During all this time, my family and allies have discovered just how far the government will go to wrongfully convict and imprison someone they know is innocent. They do this as a message, first to Indians and further to anyone who might stand up to injustice, as if to say, we do as we please. From the day of my arrest until now, through my supporters, I have been honored with many activist and humanitarian awards. I thank you for keeping awareness of me and my case alive. Your commitment has really been a special experience for me. In addition, many celebrities, political figures, and organizations have called for my release, including 55 members of Congress. This last November, the National Congress of American Indians, the NCAI, passed a permanent resolution calling for my release. Well, let's not hope it's that permanent. The NCAI has committed to being directly involved with my case so that the message from Washington to Indian people does not remain, we will do as we please. Still, despite all this attention and with all the leaders and people of conscience calling for my release, I have been kept in this iron cage. They have kept me longer than their own laws say they can, with evidence corroborating that I did not receive a fair trial, with proof of government misconduct, with admissions by government officials that they do not know who killed those two agents that day at the Jumping Bull property. Here I sit. We will do as we please. Recently, as many of you know, an act was passed and signed into law that allows for indefinite detention of American citizens without charge or trial. This is perhaps the final straw, the final nail in the coffin of American freedom, the end of habeas corpus and due process. We will do as we please. We Indians said it for generations. If they can kill us indiscriminately, they will do it to anyone. If they can take our land, they will do it to anyone. If they can kidnap our children and take them to prison schools, they will do it to anyone. If they can starve us and lie to us, they will do it to anyone. If they can wrongfully imprison us, they will do it to anyone. Now, sadly, this is another Indian prophecy fulfilled. We will do as we please. Our ancestors and tribal people all over the world prophesied a time of upheaval and great change. I believe that time is fast approaching. I believe a part of this is the government's ongoing overreach of its authority until the people rise up and tell Washington, you will not do as you please. We are not your slaves. We will not be subjugated. We will not be ruled by an iron fist. We will not allow you to steal our liberty or our justice. My friends, my relatives, my supporters, be a part of this latest, perhaps the last, Indian uprising. Make your voice heard. Be a part of the brave movement to come, the movement that will change the course of human history. Make change and hope and peace and justice a part of your personal legacy. Be the change that you envision and know in your heart must take place. Do this, and on the day you take your last breath and prepare to meet Creator, you will know your life on this earth was well spent. Close your eyes, knowing you used your breath and energy to Creator's good purpose. Smile as you close your eyes, knowing you changed the world so that the next seven generations can know a good life. Do these things and know that I am with you. I will embrace you as my relations to this life or the next. Metekuyu Uyasin, in the spirit of Crazy Horse, Leonard Peltier.
Several others of our comrades. So we
share our legacy together. Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, my name is Ben Ramos, and I do work around the Puerto Rican political prisoners as well as the Cuban Five. And usually when I stand up in front of a group of people, I'm usually either talking about one of my nations, Puerto Rico, or my other nation, Cuba. Or I'm standing up in front of people trying to get them to donate money. And I can assure you that I am not talking about Puerto Rico or Cuba today. We're going to talk a little bit about money. Brothers and sisters, I was reading something that Leonard wrote a few years back when he talked about how revolutionaries also have a great sense of generosity. That's where our solidarity comes from. That's where our love for each other and for our communities come from, because we have a generous nature. And that's what I need everybody here to tap into. Because brothers and sisters, activities like today and the work we do out in the streets is not funded by PepsiCo. We didn't receive a grant from Kellogg to do this work. We fund this out of our pockets. This comes from people's power. This is the root of all evil, when it's in the hands of an imperialist, a colonist, or racist, a capitalist. But in our hands, this allows us to educate, to organize, and mobilize the mass movement we need to destroy capitalism, to end racism, to end imperialism, and to get all of our brothers and sisters from behind the walls out in the streets where we need them. So brothers and sisters, in the back, they are buckets. They're things that are going to be circulated. Pull out a dollar, pull out $5, pull out $10, $20, write a check. Brothers and sisters, I know the economy is bad, so whatever it is that you can give to push us forward will be greatly appreciated. If you don't know how much to write in that check, then leave it blank and we will fill it out for you. Brothers and sisters, if you don't know how to, you know how much to give in your credit card, give us the credit card and the PIN and we will do it for you. It does not matter. We need to raise some money. And Lamb in the back has a bucket. It's being passed around. If you want to write a check out, talk with Ann. She'll let you know where to write it out. Brothers and sisters, this work needs to be funded by the donation. You want to free the nation, you got to give the donation. I don't know how many things I got to say to get you guys to get good, good. I see people going into their pockets. Very good. Let's dig deep. Let's see what we can give. 50 cents brings us 50 cents closer to whatever we have to do. Brothers and sisters, we need this type of support for the work that we do. So I appreciate you. We get back to our program. Give and give generously in the spirit of Leonard Peltier, in the spirit of Mumia, in the spirit of the Cuban Five, in the spirit of the Move Nine, in the spirit of the White Ocean Imperials, in the spirit of all of our political prisoners. Free the land, free the nation, free all political prisoners.
Yes, Ben, thank you. Free all U.S. held political prisoners. Because we know that there has been a war against indigenous people since 1492, right? And so it continues in 2012. All they do is change the manner in which they do it. And it's up to the people to never forget. And so I want to bring up this next sister, who is Sister Pam Africa, who is known as the Minister of Confrontation for the concerned family and friends of a political prisoner, Mumia Abu-Jamal. And we understand the power of the people. The state of Pennsylvania, they have been trying to, they were working to murder our brother for the past 30 years. He was on death row. And if we didn't stop fighting, if we did not stop fighting and letting our voices be heard, Mumia would have been executed, murdered, just like they murdered Troy Davis, Tukey Smith, all of the people that the state viciously murdered. So the power of the people, we have to understand that brother, Mumia Abu-Jamal, is no longer, it's still work to do, there's work to do as long as there are U.S. held political prisoners. But the fact that we got Mumia Abu-Jamal off of death row, that only happened because we kept up the struggle. We kept our voices. We kept our feet to the ground. We kept our bodies out there. We kept writing those letters, signing those petitions, going to D.C., going to Pennsylvania, going to places all over this country, talking to talking about Maria Abdul-Jabbar and all U.S. health political prisoners, and with the power of our voices, we can continue to do that for Leonard Peltier, for all of the political prisoners that exist. So without any further ado, this system, they say, big things come in small packages. I love this woman because she is the minister of confrontation, and she always tells it like it is. So on behalf of all of the committees that planned this event for Leonard Peltier, welcome, Sister Pam Allen. One more.